Good afternoon and welcome to Art Speak Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Maria Foscus Boyd with you. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon. Whoops, there goes my mic. Thank you for making us a part of your afternoon. And, you know, every week we're here from noon to one. And this episode of Art Speak Radio, we have in the house, we have Rick Malcik along with, where are my notes? My goodness. Thomas Kobian and Martha Gershon. We also have Colby Smith and Jason Prue here in the studio to talk about things that are happening in the community. For one, I can mention that the Downtown Neon Gallery, which has a really terrific following of writers and musicians and artists, they'll music plus poetry plus art. They'll host a reading and music this Friday, April 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Downtown Neon Gallery at 1921 East Truman Road. Poets from the Writer's Place will read. That will be Rhonda Miller, Bob Savino, Michael Wells, Pat Daneman, and there will be art by the Visual Arts Group in, of course, Tomas Kobian, the Neon Warrior. He's a huge supporter of the arts. Welcome, Martha, Thomas, and Rick. Thank you so much for coming
in. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria.
Yikes, that was a little rough of a beginning, but I'm glad that you're here. Let's talk about what's happening Friday.
We expect a crowd of over 100 people at Thomas's fabulous gallery. There's amazing art on the walls. We've got poets who are going to read. We have three musical acts. River Cow Orchestra always starts us out. Rick Malcik hosts and always closes us out. And this time, our featured musical guest in the middle is going to be Sarah Nicole Glass.
Oh, I missed her, didn't I, in that?
That's all right.
Aye, aye, aye.
And the Imagination Monkeys, so we're really looking forward to this event.
Is that Imagination or Inspiration Monkeys?
Oh, you're right. They're the Inspiration Monkeys. They're both. They are both imaginative and inspirational.
That's awesome. Well, you know, it is a fun time down there because, again, it's just a place filled with music and art and poetry. And Thomas is just really generous in lending the gallery space for that. So thank you, Thomas.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a very uplifting event for a long time now. We have a lot of help and gathering and fellowship of the arts is what I call it. We have everybody that is participating and the viewers are also participating by enjoying the art, enjoying the music, enjoying the poetry and the writer's place. Mary Frances Wagner, she also has a great deal to do with us, and as you know, you've read at the gallery before. There's just a very good vibe there, and we have really worked at trying to make everybody welcome, and we have a very, very diverse crowd, from little ones to old ones to everything, you know, so that's what we like, and we everybody leaves with a smile on their face, and there is a lot that goes into these events. Martha and Rick, they really, really work, and, you know, I work to try to keep everything aloft and everything. So we do custom neon restorations and anything to do with lighting and neon. Please support the gallery.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's part of the fun is that you're up close and you can look at the neon work that's, you know, suspended in the gallery and all around you. It just adds to really a sort of a carnival of fun atmosphere.
Oh, yes, yes.
So, and Rick is a resident art musician there, I should say, because like Martha said, you begin the program and you end. So, and you recently recorded or have a release of your work that came out because you were on the show when that that CD came out.
Philodendron came out in January. Philodendron came out in January, and I'm working on another album that's
really
a lot different from Philodendron. It's all public domain songs.
That's interesting. So, like, give us, for instance.
Well, all the songs are written before, what's the cutoff for public domain? I think like 1921. So I've got Carolina in the Morning. I've got Ragtime Cowboy Joe. I've got Shenandoah.
Yeah.
And all those good old, The Man on the Flying Trapeze. I do that
Yeah, and Rick's got his guitar here, so you're going to perform for us live in the studio?
I would love to.
Please do. Yeah, let's hear from you.
Okay, thanks. He likes to sing raggy music to his cattle as he swings. Horse that is syncopated, gated, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run when they see him get his gun, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin', shootin', scootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe. Down in Arizona where the bad guys are, and the only light to guide you is the evening star. The roughest, toughest dude by far is ragtime cowboy Joe. He got his name from crooning to the cows and sheep, and every night they say he sings the herd to sleep in a basso rich and deep, crooning soft and low. He likes to sing raggy music to his cattle as he swings back and forward in the saddle on a horse that the syncopated, gated, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run when they see him get his gun, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, shootin', scootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe. Dresses every Sunday in his Sunday clothes, and he beats it into town where he always goes. The ladies there are cowboy Joes, cause he's a ragtime bear. And when he gets to cruising on the dance hall floor, no one but a lunatic would go to war. They know his 44 can make a man dance most fair. Likes to sing raggy music to his cattle as he swings back and forward in the saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run when they see him get his gun, because the western folks all know he's a highfalutin, shootin', scootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.
And you know what was much, it was just as fun, you know, hearing that song, watching Thomas just doing this cowboy thing in the chair. You're too
Your
funny.
Your horse rock out moment.
Right.
Again, if you've just joined us, this is Art Speak Radio. I'm talking to Rick Malcik and Martha Gershon, Thomas Cobian. We're talking about music plus poetry plus art this Friday, April 29th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Downtown Neon Gallery at 1921 East Truman Road. A website for more information?
People can go to Facebook. And the Neon Gallery has a Facebook page?
The Neon Gallery does not have a Facebook page, you can go. You can Google it, Downtown Neon Gallery, and pick it up there. So.
And I think won't the Writer's Place also have it on their calendar?
Absolutely, yes. Because the Writer's Place supports this. But Music, Poetry, and Art has its own Facebook page. We are very proud of it. And we'll put up some pictures from today's radio appearance.
Beautiful. And again, the musical guest for that evening will be River Cow Orchestra. And then we'll hear from Sarah Nicole Glass, Miss Concepcion, and the Inspiration Monkeys. They'll also feature poets from the Writer's Place, Rhonda Miller, Bob Savino, Michael Wells, Pat Daneman, and art by the Visual Arts Group and Thomas Cobian, the Neon Warrior. So you get really pumped when this occurs, when these events take place, don't you, Martha?
Absolutely. We do this four times a year, which is just enough to have us start anticipating the next one. We've been doing this for over 6 years,
That's crazy.
We have had hundreds of poets come through and thousands of guests. Thomas always calls us the best underground art scene in Kansas City, and I really think that's true.
Yeah. There's plenty of parking. There's plenty of fun, food, music, just a real fun atmosphere. And you know, with some of the writers that are featured at the Downtown Neon Gallery, some are emerging, some are well-established, published writers, so you kind of give everyone a fair shot at sharing their work, right?
It's one of the things I like best, it's young and old, it's folks from all races and ethnicities, and all kinds of poetry, too.
Yeah. And the music acts are very...
Very, very unique, you know, unique work all, you know, all through it. I mean, the music, the poetry, and the art, is not a copycat. You know, I mean, it's all original, and that just makes it. We've had several people that have said that we didn't even know that this existed, and you know, we had a very good, you know, we had a very good crowd last time with Rick. Doing his philodendron project. That was very, very cool. And so we've had some, you know, opportunities where Rick is able to do some recording, and then we had the Herminators do some recordings there. And so, I mean, it's all that fellowship. And, you know, when people, we've got a great following now, and it's just very, you feel accomplished to know that you are. There's no charge for this. Everybody is doing it out of their heart, and everybody is just doing, you know, out of their benevolent practices, you know. And so we're just passing it on and trying to promote the arts, and that's one of the things that this city is really, you know. They say they're artful and everything, but there's always a catch or a hook or anything. There's not a catch or a hook at the Downtown Neon Gallery.
We
are just, you know, promoting the arts because we love the arts. And, you know, we're just happy to do it.
So. You know, this city is just unique in that, you know, there's such a diverse community of creative people, you know, performance and music and writing and visual arts and that. So this event just kind of pulls all that together. Now, I'm going to jump ahead a little bit because one of the more popular events that takes place at the Neon Gallery is in October or so for the Halloween Music Plus Poetry Plus Art. And that's huge, right?
Yeah, thanks for talking about that one. So I was out of town last year, so Rick hosted it, but there were costumes and decorations and scary stuff.
People get into it.
And so, you were visiting castles, right?
Yeah, I was. I confess, I was out of the country. But the nice thing about this event is that every season there's something. You know, coming into April, this is spring. People are so glad that it's finally warm. And Thomas has some awfully good spring neon. By summer, it'll be hot and sizzling. You know, we'll throw open the doors and people will be wearing a little bit less. And then we roll right into Halloween.
Yeah. Again, it's music plus poetry plus art, Friday, April 29th, 7 to 10, Downtown Neon Gallery, 1921 East Truman Road. Sarah Nicole Glass has been on a few times on ArtSpeak Radio with her music. Will she be performing that night, you suppose?
Actually, she's going to be doing a little bit of both. She's going to be singing along with the River Cow
Orchestra for a bit of this. That'd be interesting.
And then she's going to be reading... accompanied by the Inspiration Monkeys. I saw her do a reading at Prospero's in that format, and she is great. It's going to be excellent.
Yeah, and I should mention, too, that she's also known for her flaming hula hoops, or not flaming hula hoops, but she does some juggling and that sort of thing.
She did a little hula hoop in the neon one time, remember?
She's
she didn't even break anything.
No, she's a pro. She's a pro.
She didn't break anything. She didn't have to pay for anything. So that worked out pretty good.
Yeah, that was great.
So, that sounds like a full evening. DowntownGallery.com is the website. Writersplace.org. I'm sure they'll have that on their calendar of events. So there's a lot of planning going on in this.
Absolutely. And we make sure everybody's fed. Folks are welcome to bring a snack or dessert for the table. It's BYOB. I'll tell you, I don't think anybody's ever left not thinking that they're full of art and full of community. It's the happiest, best scene in this city.
Go ahead. In our own small way, we're a functioning philanthropy. We set out tip jars, and every quarter, we give the money from the tip jar to the Writer's Place. And in 5 years, we've raised over $1,000 for the Writer's Place that way. In tips.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, that's the good thing about our community is that we support and raise up one another for the most part.
And you know, it's very cool to see such a range of people. You know, I mean, we've got children, and the children will just, you know, they love the poets, they love the music, they love the art, and then there's so much to grasp in there. You know, and when we do the event, Martha does great yeah. planning. Rick does the great planning. Mm-hmm. I do my best to make sure that everything is good, ready to go. Yeah. And like I said, Mary Frances Wagner, she sets a lot in motion also. So mm-hmm. we're very, very blessed. So.
But you touched on something that I think is really important, and that is, including the younger kids, a different generation, because once they're exposed to the arts and the culture and the music and all of that, I think, it cultivates a new generation of art people who appreciate art, you know?
So, and that's what this event is all about. I mean, there's no frills or chills or anything. I mean, we're giving our love of the arts back to the city, and we've had some very, very good events, and we'll continue to keep doing.
Now, speaking of thrills, that's a great segue. Martha, you've got some work you're going to read for us
today? I'm going to read a poem. So I'm not reading this week at the Neon, uh-huh. but I always read in the July event.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thomas tells me that he likes my poems that are a little racy, so I'm going to read one.
G-rated.
Kind of for Thomas.
Very good.
But Rick may have inspired it in some other ways. You will see how. Your mother's yarn nearly killed my cat. When she gobbled up that variegated twine, green wrapping brown, it could have tied her innards into useless pipes, left her cramped and panting until her guts burst open, like the stubborn twist that killed my mom, because she was too scared and vain and tired to let Aaron dial 911. But my smart cat purged and purged, puked up half, shat out the rest, shaping two perfect turds linked by a single strand of your mother's yarn, leaving me to wonder, what would have happened if Eve had spurned the apple, swallowing the snake instead?
Yikes.
You like that one, Thomas?
That was good.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I hope my cat appreciate that. I left the radio on for her. So here's to you, Gigi.
Keep her away from
Gigi
the balls
Deluxe.
Of yarn. Yeah.
Very good. We just Thanks. Have a minute. Any last words, final words?
One last thing, that if anybody needs any neon, I've done a lot of the historic restorations in there and trying to beautify, the signs and things like that. So
no, thank you.
I can't say that. That keeps the lights on.
Yeah.
And Maria, really, anyone who wants to come out, there are a lot of old-timers, and they're real comfortable and familiar. We welcome new people every single event, and I promise I'll greet you at the door. I'll introduce you to people you want to meet, and I'll make sure you have something to eat and drink.
Beautiful. Rick?
Thank you.
Thank you for your gift of music. I always look forward to hearing your music when I'm down there at the downtown Neon Gallery. So,
That's nice. Thanks.
Well, thank you all for coming in this afternoon and sharing the information with us. Please come back.
Thanks, Maria.
Come back around the Halloween time.
Again.
You bet. We'll be right back after this. Thank you for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez-Boy. Thank you so much for making us a priority. I just want to have a real quick announcement from our dear friend Lauren Crum, who wanted to be here today, but she wanted me to pass along this information about SWEDU, which is the acronym for Startup Weekend Education at the leanlab.org. It's going to take place at Think Big, 1712 Main, here in Kansas City, and it's a startup weekend education. It's a 54-hour event where educators, entrepreneurs, developers, and designers come together to share ideas, form teams, build products, and launch startups that specifically focus on education. So how it works is that you pitch an idea for a new education venture to all participants, and then you join or form a team committed to solving a particular problem. You receive coaching from experienced education designers and industry professionals, and then the opportunity exists to win prizes that will help take your idea to the next level. So that takes place this weekend, the leanlab.org, SWEDU is acronym for Startup Weekend Education. So it's really, I should say, geared for educators, entrepreneurs, technologists, and more. So there's also, as I mentioned, there's going to be prizes and all that. But the Lean Lab is a community of educators, entrepreneurs, and innovators who are growing, testing, and launching ideas to build the future of Kansas City education. So that is from our friend Lauren Crum, who you might recognize her name from the Grizzly Hand. She sent that in, couldn't be here today. www.leanlab.org for more information. Next up, we have a terrific fella here in the studio, Director Colby Smith. He's going to discuss the Studios Inc., which provides studio space, professional development, networking, and exhibitions for mid-career artists in Greater Kansas City. That's located at 1708 Campbell, Kansas City, Missouri, studiosinc.org. Welcome, Colby.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah. This is your first time, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So this Studios Inc. At 17th and Campbell, tell us more about it. What are sort of the conditions? What goes on there?
Sure. We're a non-for-profit art residency center, so we have 10 studios and 10 artists in residence at all times. Kind of unique to our program is the scale of the studios mm-hmm. and the amount of time
it's
they
huge.
Get to occupy them.
Yeah.
So some of the studios range up around 2,500 square feet, mm-hmm. and artists are awarded the space free of charge for a period of 3 years,
mm-hmm.
so which is pretty rare
and
in the industry.
That allows them to really focus and create and become innovative in their work, right?
Yeah. One of the main reasons we started this was we found when looking around Kansas City, the artists that you kind of felt had made it and were mm-hmm. established, mm-hmm. the reality was that it wasn't true. You know, they mm-hmm. were mm-hmm. two kids in college, a mortgage, mm-hmm. working out of their garage or their basement.
Yeah.
And it really put a limitation, I think, on their career expanding. So mm-hmm. what we wanted to do is step in and offer a situation, you know, where we could remove that burden of lack mm-hmm. of space or lack of a dedicated time and place to go to make the art.
So the artist residency program, each year an artist who is in residence, they donate a piece of artwork to the Studios Inc. collection, right?
Yes. And this year we've launched studios.gallery. Mm-hmm. In the past, mm-hmm. those donated artworks were coupled together and sold as a complete collection.
Wow.
And now yeah. we are making them available individually. You can still opt for a collection. And we also are starting a lending program.
That's cool. So that will increase traffic through the organization's facilities and provide continued opportunities and exposure for the sure. Resident artists. Who are some of the resident artists currently at Studios Gallery?
Currently, we have... I got to go. The way I always remember is I go through the building here. Brett Reif, yeah. Patty Carroll, Jerry Trilling, Tanya Hartman, Jill Downen, myself, Miles Neidinger, and Ricky Allman, and Hey Youngson.
Deborah Smith?
Deborah Smith, thank you.
Only because, you know, I went through her gallery, and of course, I actually went to the Art Institute with Deborah. She was maybe a freshman when I was graduating, but I remember, you know, going through her studio and just, you know, wanting to touch everything.
Yeah.
Her work is so tactile, and it's really beautiful. It's just a terrific studio space to be in. You know, as far as the artist residency programs, how often do the submissions for applications come, or do you just kind of select people?
No, there's an open call that goes out annually. We usually rotate one to two artists out each year, and they're available online uh-huh. at our website. Anybody can apply.
Uh-huh.
There are pretty strict guidelines in how we define mid-career artist.
Mm-hmm. And how do you define?
It's not in the dictionary, evidently.
Yeah, yeah.
When we were starting our 501c3, we had to basically inform the federal government of what a mid-career artist was,
yeah.
which I thought was funny. So yeah. Mid-career, by our definition, is an artist that has worked professionally for a period of 7 years outside of an academic institution.
Uh-huh.
If they didn't go to art school, the professional yeah. equivalent of that.
Mm-hmm.
And their work has to be regionally exhibited nationally, either by publication or public exhibition.
Yeah, and so for more information, the website is studiosinc.org. I'm talking to Colby Smith here from who's the director of the Studios Inc., and that provides studio space, professional development, networking, and exhibitions for mid-career artists in Greater Kansas City. And they have to be in Kansas City, right?
Yes, they have to reside in Kansas City during their time of residency. Our main goal is to support these people and build them up so they can go back into our community and give back. And we feel like the mid-career artist is the one most poised, you know, after getting that support to make a significant contribution to the community.
Now, in terms of the artwork that you're looking for, it's pretty diverse. I mean, you're not just focused on ceramicists. I mean, I was there for the Enseca, you know, exhibition, so I saw a lot of ceramic arts, but I also milled through Miles' studio and Deborah's and all that. But you're looking for a diverse group of artists?
Yeah, we like to, it's important to us to maintain diversity on a number of levels. And one of them that I think gets overlooked when you have a program that involves multiple constituents or artists, especially in visual art, is to have all the various fields and styles and methods of making and concept, you know, represented. So we have painters, sculptors, video, film artists,
it's a wide
conceptual
range.
Artists, photography, kind of all across the board. So we do, when selecting artists, we do take that into account. You know, we kind of look who's leaving this year, and so we keep a balance.
Yeah. You know, we're going to take a real quick break for some underwriting, and we'll be right back with ArtSpeak Radio and Colby Smith with Studios Inc. You're listening to ArtSpeak Radio on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. This is Maria Vasquez Boyd, and I'm here with Colby Smith of Studios Gallery Inc., Studios Inc., I should say. Before that, we just heard from our wonderful friend, Michael Hoag, who's host of Arts Magazine on Monday from noon to one. We got you covered here in the arts at KKFI. So, you know, during the break, Colby Smith and I were talking a little bit about what else we can cover for Studios Inc., upcoming exhibits and that. So welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
You bet.
So each one of our artists that's in residence during their three-year period is required to have a solo exhibition. In our exhibition space, which is pretty very large in its own right. So we have four shows a year, sometimes five. And we also have an annual group show that features one piece of work from each artist. That's the next show opening up on May 13th. We'll have opening reception from 6 to 9 p.m.
And that's at 1708 Campbell.
Yep.
Here in Kansas City, Missouri. Also, you know, I want to mention that as part of this description, Studios Inc. respects the resident artists and will work hard to ensure that their work is never devalued and garners the acclaim that is deserved. And all the work that is purchased or leased from Studios Gallery is priced at a fair market value, and 100% of proceeds will go directly into the sustainability of the overall organization as well as other community programs. That's awesome.
Yeah, when we decided to launch the studios.gallery, one of our concerns was that it didn't appear that we were trying to compete with the existing gallery market. So we want to approach it in a way that it's that we consider those people more partners. You know, we want them to bring, they can bring people and sell, you know, represent their artists, because most of our artists are represented by galleries. So our board decided to put in place, you know, that we would have a set standard, a fair market value. And we wouldn't deviate from that.
But is there a conflict, though, because if they're represented by a particular gallery and then Studios Inc.?
Well, we're not representing them.
I see.
We're merely selling off, if you consider it an asset that's been donated to our organization.
Got it. So, you know, it's a really good, I think, policy that's put in place to help sustain the organization itself. Yeah, very good. So tell us more about Studios.
One of the things that's we find really unique with our program, and also we've been, I'm trying to think of the name of the Artist Alliance Communities, which is kind of the authority of residency programs.
Right.
They referenced and cited our patron program, a funding model, and a big Kresge funded study on impact of residency centers and sustainability, particularly. Our patron program, we match each artist in residence with an individual, a patron.
Wow.
That patron pays in $5,000 of a donation annually to underwrite a portion of that studio cost.
Wow.
So the thing that's really great for us is we're able to go into the Kansas City community, find people that maybe normally don't support art, and get them into that program so that they have an experience where when they leave, they really start to see the value of it, be it in a commercial sense or in a cultural sense.
Yeah, that's really smart. That's really smart. And we were talking about other partnerships within the community, too?
We have two other entities that are on the Studios Inc. campus. It's 51,000 square foot, so it's massive.
I mean, gosh, it is. It's huge.
Yeah, and I think I walk about 3 miles a day and don't leave the building. We sat down with our board about 18 months ago, 2 years ago, and really looked at what we could do to create a real long-term stability for the organization. We're going into our 10th year next year.
Wow.
So, yeah, time flies.
Wow, yeah.
And what we decided is we could just take a small portion of our space and find somebody to partner with us, not in a fiscal way, but something that was creative and unique and industry-based that would pay some lease rate and also support the studios. But the key to it, we wanted something that would increase the traffic through the studios. So by inclusion of Torn Label Brewery, which is a microbrewery, and they have a tap room there, and Cosmic Cowboy Studio, which is a video film production studio that is also a non-for-profit, we were able to increase traffic through our facility exponentially. And it's really interesting because it brings in a whole new crowd that we're not used to seeing.
Yeah, and I hate to say this, but it almost feels like a one-stop shop because you've got your gallery, you've got your drinks, you've got, you know,
we can literally slide all the doors open, and this synergy occurs, and it's art, beer, and rock and roll all in one place.
I mean, what else do you want?
Yeah,
you know, also in that space in the area, there's just sort of a vacant lot that's facing the entrance to the gallery. Is that going to have any future use for a sculpture yard?
The one across the street?
Yeah, yeah. It just seems like it lends itself to like some sort of a sculpture yard.
Yeah, it's not it. We don't own the property.
Okay.
So, but it is something we have looked at.
Yeah, yeah. Because you do have like a fairly large space out there, but. You know, 51,000 feet. Jeez, you need a radio station in that place.
We just might.
Well, very good. Anything else that I've left out, or
you know, a couple other events this summer in July? We're hosting Rock the Crossroads 5K run, and they're having a concert and everything.
Is that new?
No, I think this is their 6 year, maybe 6 or 7 years they've been doing it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really exciting for us.
Open calls coming up?
Open calls come out at the middle end of the summer. And as long as you're subscribed on our website, you get it automatically.
Yeah.
And the other thing is I encourage people to, you know, if they have any questions while applying, you know, we're open. I'll meet with them before, look at applications.
And, good.
You know, because we get about 20 to 40 qualified applicants each year, so it's pretty tough competition.
Wow!
So I always encourage artists to apply. If you do not get a studio, keep applying.
Excellent.
Most of our artists are finalists multiple times.
Wow! Colby, please come back and talk with
anytime.
Me
anytime.
Yeah, because you know, I like to make people aware of what's going on in the community and opportunities and all, and this just sounds terrific for the creative community. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're going to be right back with Art Speak Radio right after this. You're listening to Art Speak Radio. I'm Maria Vasquez Boyd, and next up we have the terrifically talented Jason Prue. He's known for his fiction writing and has been featured in numerous publications, including Indigo Rising, Kansas City Voices, Hold Fast, and 101fiction.com. He can be found at jasonprue.wordpress.com. Welcome, my friend.
Hi. Thanks for having me back.
This is like your second or third time or fourth time, something like that.
I know. I'm counting. You know, every time I come here, I get thrilled.
Well, we love having you. So, you know what? You've got some new work out, right?
There's this week alone. There are going to be three books.
Wow.
So two anthologies and then a work of For lack of better words, they're fake Wikipedia entries. So that's going to be available at the Open Studios Charlotte Street event this weekend. So
terrific. And you'll be there?
Yeah, it's Friday night at the Open Studios down at 11th and Main, the Town Pavilion building, sixth floor. Charlotte Street is a arts foundation that offers studio space to 20 to 24 artists a year.
Yeah.
They do offer it to writers as well. And this is their biggest weekend of the year. They do the studios open up, and they're free parking down at the Commerce Building, free beer. It's a great time. You will get to meet and greet the artist, and there'll be all sorts of cool stuff to do. I've got that book out. I know other people are doing a lot of other cool things that weekend. So
I'm going to ask you to scoot this way. Yeah, because I'm seeing like the mic right in front of your face. Yay, there we go. And you've brought some work to read.
Yeah, so just today Cinemali Publications has delivered the book Reverberated Echoes, which is a Kansas City Reader.
And that is published by...
a local publisher, Cinemali.
And that would be Jameson Bales, right?
That's right. Mr. Bales, the one and
only. Hello, Jameson. He's so shy. He's in the studio, but he's don't put me
he's
on
He's hanging
there.
In the back. Yeah.
So I do want to hear some of your...
Sure. So my pieces for this reader, the theme is Kansas City, mm-hmm. and I've lived here for about 25 years now. And so I thought I would take the four different seasons and attribute them to a year that I lived in Kansas City and mm-hmm. what was going on mm-hmm. then. So I'll read a couple from that.
Please
this
do.
Is Kansas City in the summer, 1993. Southwest Boulevard, beyond a rocky overpass. Java Gaia wired and welcomed us weirdos. Mesmerized, cold coffee in my hand to temper the devil outside. I watched an aging hipster cast yarrow sticks, then furiously scribble into a journal, thumb through a tattered book, talk nonsense to himself. His neon intensity called into question what I thought I knew of fortune-telling. A trio of neo-pagans crooned at the open mic upstairs. Those witches begged of captive gods, and there was something in the air then that shimmered and shined and shimmied into everyone, no matter what part of this city they planned to rest their caffeinated heads. The future called to us from faraway, sleepy, segregated suburbs. Yet some stayed right there on the boulevard, sipping espressos, stayed to drown in the torrents that fell to flood the boulevard. Stayed to drown in and drink the filthy, foamy waters that our rivers could not contain, waters that tasted nothing like coffee, waters that do not tolerate much talk of divination before rising in protest.
Beautiful.
Thanks. That was obviously the flood of that year that just destroyed my favorite hangout in the city at the time, down there on the boulevard.
Yeah, it's been real tough, and especially now we're getting a lot of rain again. But you have a follow-up piece to that, a second?
Yeah, so again, there's four. I'm not going to read all of them, but I wanted to read another. This is a short one. This
Please
is
do.
Kansas City in the autumn, 2015. Waters. Waters rise. What is a father? What is a father that feeds? What is a father that feeds his son? What is a father that feeds his son to pigs after beating him to death? What is a father that kills his son by beating him to death? What father? What is a father that kills his son? What is a father that kills? What is a father? Waters fall. Waters.
Beautiful. Just very powerful, too. What inspires your work? This is about Kansas City and different parts of your life.
This is the first time I have really looked at the city proper and just mm-hmm. thought about my life here and mm-hmm. what I've done. I was raised a military kid, so I lived all over.
Right.
And now that I'm getting older and realize, boy, this really spent half my life here almost.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought about it. Jameson put out the call for Kansas City Poems. I have never really written anything about this city that I've been a part of for a long time.
Because I think a lot of the poetry that I've read or listened to deals more with the music and the barbecue and jazz and that sort of thing. So it's nice to have a different sort of viewpoint.
Yeah, there's definitely one in here about the music, because that was huge. You know, the Kansas City music scene, when I came up in the mid to late 90s through the early 2000s, there were so many awesome bands that came through.
Well, and you're really into music, if I remember our last conversation.
I've been in mourning all week since Prince died. It's broken my heart.
I tell you. Yeah, who knew? But, you know, I also want to mention to our listeners that you were a part of the Radio Ranga.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So I thank you for that.
That was a sweet experience,
Well, you know, I think anytime you can collaborate with other creative people, I mean, there's just something that happens that's just so magnificent and rewarding.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, you can get a lot from having other people push you or say, why are you doing it this way? Try this and see what happens. Or even just give you, you know, a prompt, like, I'm going to try this instead this time. And so, yeah, I really value that collaborative piece. And pieces in this particular book, we hadn't read to each other, so a lot of them I'm reading for the first time too, which is really cool to see them all in context now.
And so that, so you'll be reading your work this Friday.
So what's going on this weekend at Open Studios? There may be some impromptu readings, because it's going to be kind of like a party.
Absolutely,
you know, and there will be people all over. But there's another book that's going to be there. I won't be reading from that. It's just a piece to have something to, for visitors that are coming through. But the other two writers in residence and I have put together an exquisite corpse. So
we love that.
Yeah, so that's going to be really cool. There's a short fiction piece that we've collaborated on, and then a Sestina that we've all put together. So that'll be available. And then the next day at the Paragraph Gallery is the last day of the One Thing That Can Save America show. And the writers in residence are also doing a reading there, and there will be another book available that the curator of that exhibit has put together. And there I will be reading, and what I'm reading there is what I've been working on basically throughout the residence, which is 154 sonnets about your mom.
Wow.
So they're funny, sexy, silly, dumb.
How was the residency for you? I mean, I think there's some expectations that you're going to create, you know, this huge body of work, and some people do. But how was it for you?
I think for me, it just gave me some inspiration to do the work, and to have a space to say, this is what I'm going to do when I'm here. So I'll go there once or twice a week and work for 5 hours, which is a lot when you can really crank out that. You know, if you're not a full time writer, it's not your gig.
Yeah.
To have that amount of time and a space to go where it's quiet and just to do the work, I've got a lot done, a whole lot done. And now the evidence is starting to finally pile up after this year. You know, this week is crazy in June. I've got the pop poetry on the June pop poetry book. You know, you had Jeanette and Jason on a few weeks ago.
Man, that is huge. I mean, it's really taken off. So really, you'll be there for June. Lots going on in your life, kid.
Yeah. It's really awesome.
Yeah. You know, if you would like to share another poem with us, only because it's really the tail end of National Poetry Month.
That's right.
So,
it is. Yeah, you know, sure. I would love to read some more. I brought some more.
I love having poets on, you know, for this month and all, but, you know, I really have to sort of balance it out with visual arts and performance and that sort of thing. So that's sort of my role as you know, host of Art Speak, just to bring everybody in. Yeah,
a
curator, I like that.
Yep, you are on air curator. this month has been cool. I've been doing a poem a day up at the blog, so it's been
good.
Tell
us your
It's jasonprude.wordpress.com.
And it's P-R-E-U.
E-U, So this is a kind of a newer one. It's called The After Party. The sound of your voice, like corn stalks swimming together in a pool of midnight. Remember the time we left the outhouse after the Alice Donut Show? Moonshined bodies, 1 in the morning. And we tumbled into the cornfields thinking we'd run right through them. And it would be like a movie, plants falling before our lover's dream, bowing in polite deference to human whimsy and romance. But instead, those proud, tall bastards showed a will of their own, a vengeance, a desire to tell us to shut up and go home already. Yet without mouths, without voice boxes and lungs, all they could do was clog our noses and noise holes with tightly woven tassels. All they could do was choke us to sleep with sweet, shimmery corn silk. And remember how we slept there in the cornfield, sweetly cocooned, purple-faced and starved for oxygen? Remember how we pulled blood-covered stamens from each other's mouths with such desperate, tender love? remember spewing plant matter onto the ground and swearing that the dried corn leaves underfoot spelled out, reconsider? God, my dear, those were the days, our days. We were so young and wild and free.
I love that. That made me smile.
Oh, good.
Well, yeah, because I have a story, and it's a short story
about
cornfields, and it has something to do with LSD, but you'll have to read the story. You know, it's always such a delight to have you in the studio. You know, you just bring a really terrific energy with you, and I like that. This has been a real productive time for you, you know.
It's been a really, really good year.
Yeah.
Just good stuff all around. You know, even at, I think last time I mentioned my wife had the studio down in KCK, and now she's making soaps. I mean, just family. It's been a really good year in the land of the Prues. So.
In the land of the Prues. That's Jason Prue, preu.wordpress.com for more information about him and his work and what you do. Hey, Jason, you mentioned like writing prompts. Before I ask you that, let me just back up. Is there anything that I've left out that you want to mention that we haven't talked about?
No.
Okay.
I think we've hit all the good stuff that's coming out in the next couple weeks in the show. Now, there are some other shows that are coming out, but they're later in the summer. So you just have me back and we'll talk about
that. Oh, absolutely. Anytime. Yes. Okay. So here's what I was going to ask you. You talked about writing prompts. Would you like to leave our listeners with a writing prompt? And then they can post that on our Facebook, on ArtSpeak Radio Facebook
page. Good question. What I would like to prompt your listeners to do is think of the last time they were in the shower, washing their dirty little behinds, and I want them to think, to take a little bit of time to think about what they were thinking about and write a song about it. So if you can do some lyrics, last time you were in the shower.
That's loaded, kid. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jason. Yeah, we will definitely have you back in. All right?
All right. Thank you so much for the time today.
You bet, kid.
I always love seeing you.
Good to see you. I want to mention that following this show, Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshberger will take place at 1 o'clock. Then at 3 o'clock, we have Old G's Hangout with Groovy Grant, followed by, we have, let's see. We have, I'm sorry, All Souls Forum at 6. Then at 7 o'clock, we have American Roots. Gosh, I do this every week, and I always forget every week. What is it with me? At 7 o'clock is American Roots. Then at 9 o'clock, we have the Classical Challenge with either Dr. Mike or Mark Andrus. So you want to stay tuned for all of that coming up on KKFI. Again, Jazz in the Afternoon with Jeff Harshberger. Please like us on Facebook. I want to tell you that next week we will have, I have a recorded interview with Kai Anderson, Meg Lipke, Vicky Schur, and Peggy Reese of the Volland Store in Alma, Kansas. There's a group show called Paper Giants with Kai, Meg, and Vicky. Also on the program will be author Adam Smith and illustrator Matt Fox. They're going to talk about the Long Walk to Vahelia, which is an award-winning graphic novel. So that's next week, May something or other. So thank you so much for tuning in to ArtSpeak Radio, and like us on Facebook. Honey, I'm coming home.